Good morning.
Now, we talked last week about the Apple bringing out their most affordable phone, and I see within the next week, Samsung have revealed five new phones under $800.
Yes, it's a solid competitive market, isn't it? Samsung made this announcement on the very day that iPhone SE became available in the market. And look, you'd like to think that's the way they're competitively operating, but I do think it's pretty much just by chance in the end. But five smartphones under $800. This is what they call their A series. So Samsung separates all their devices into groups. Their Z series is their foldables, very expensive, high-end, amazing stuff. Their S series is their flagship, best technology in their smartphones. And their A series are their affordable, which basically is them putting their best technology they can afford into each phone. Now, the first thing I'd say is these phones look beautiful. Like, they're very well designed. It's not like they look like cheap phones. The cheapest one is $329, the A13, and then it goes up $399, $599, $699, $799, and pretty much every increment in between and above that, Samsung has a phone. So they're pretty much catering to every budget. And, you know, I would argue the 599 version they've got, which is coming out in April, the A33, it's a 5G phone, comes in blue and black. It's got multiple camera lenses on the back. This is a great phone, and I think it's a solid price point to say to yourself, do I need to spend more than $600? Frankly, do I need to spend more than $400? Because if Samsung's got you covered at $400, and there's other brands there as well, you're on a good thing. So it's a fascinating market to see grow. And I think a lot of people are realizing, I don't need to spend all that money. I'm quite happy with what the phone does. And that's why Samsung's really playing heavily in this territory.
So in layman's terms, like the five different types of phones, like what are the differences?
It's really quite simple. I actually sat them all side by side, turned them on and went, right, what do I see straight away? And the screen straight away is a big difference. So the more you pay, and this applies all the way up the Samsung range, not just in this A series, but the more you pay, the better the screen. The better the screen brightness, the better the angle. So if you're looking at a screen on the side, the more clarity and brightness there is. And then, of course, the camera. So the better the camera, the more it's going to cost. So, sure, the 329 phone takes okay photos, but nothing compared to the 800, or, of course, then there are other phones above that. So the more you pay, the better the screen, the better the camera, and very slightly, the better the performance. I don't think the average user notices any difference in performance because we're not really pushing these things to the limit. So, yeah, it's really about what your budget can afford and ensuring that you can take the best photos for your budget.
Netflix looking to crack down on sharing. Move along, he said. There's nothing to see here.
This is funny because, you know, so many people doing this, you know, whether you're a kid who's left home or you're a parent whose children have left home and they're still using your Netflix account. And it's fine because, you know, when you log on the Netflix, it says, you know, mum's account, dad's account, child's account, whatever it is. Everyone's got their own profile, right? It's no skin off your nose. But in reality, if you don't live in the same household, you're not meant to be using the same Netflix account. And that's what they're cracking down on. They have been for some time. They've been looking at ways of blocking people who are using Netflix accounts in multiple homes. So in a couple of countries, Chile and Costa Rica and places like that, they're testing essentially sub-accounts. So you'll be able to create an extra account within your own at a cost. And so then they won't mind if you're using it somewhere else, so if you're using it out of your home. So my mother-in-law, for example, she can start using her own Netflix login, but I might pay an extra $4 a month instead of having to get her a full account for $11 or $12. So it's their way of saying, look, we know what's going on. Everyone's going to have to pay their way, but we understand that you're all part of the same family and this should be a good deal. So it's an interesting one. I don't mind it because in the end, they are a business. They're selling content and people should be paying for it.
Yeah, the only problem with it, as I see it, is you possibly don't want to see what your mother-in-law's watching. But that's another story.
No, but that's why her logo's there. Just don't click it.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, streaming services. A lot of people have a number of them, and I guess you sort of lose track sometimes of actually how much you're shelling out. But there is a way of tracking that a bit better.
Spot on. I get this question a lot. You know, how many streaming services have you got, and how do you keep track of them? So what I use is an app called Get Reminded. Now, it's an Aussie app, and it was built, in fact, to remind you of things like your household bills. So you might be your rent, it might be your rates, it might be your car insurance, whatever bills you have, you can put into this app. But I've been using it for my streaming services, because the reason people kind of lose track of what they're paying and what they've got is because they're what I call silent billers. So silent transactions on your account. You don't know when Netflix charges your account. They don't send you an email going, thanks for the money. They don't do anything. It just hits your bank account. So with Get Reminded, you get an email or a pop-up notification in the app that says, in 2 days, this is happening. And you can go, actually, you know what? Next month, let's not have Netflix. And you can log in and you can pause your account. And that works for all streaming services. So it's a good way of keeping on top of what you're paying, seeing very clearly what you're paying every year for these streaming services, and hopefully saving some money across the year for the things you don't need.
Sounds good. Trevor, as always, great to chat. We'll talk to you again next week.
Cheers.